I love preaching and teaching the power gifts. And I looked at the gift of salvation as being one of those power gifts. The power of new birth. The power of eternal life. Yes, salvation is filled with power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is filled with power. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a scripture that we have looked at many times, and we will look at it many, many more times as well. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And we see those words there in the beginning. It says, "But you shall receive power." In Greek, it's dunamos. And that's the word that we get from dynamite. The Greek word that we get, the word dynamite. The Lord Jesus wants to fill your life with dynamite. He wants to fill your life with power. And as we see that many of these gifts that we receive from the Lord Jesus, sometimes we think, well, I'm just not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. I need to do things better. I need to be closer to God. Then maybe I will receive it. Well, it's not a gift then. The Lord wants to give you that power today. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit today. He wants to fill your life with dynamite today. Yes, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a power gift. Healing is a power gift. Deliverance is a power gift. All these things have a couple of things in common. Number one, they are all come as gifts through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God. And number two is I can't give them to you. I can't give them to you. They come from God. They come from through the Lord Jesus Christ. I can preach on the power gifts. I can teach on the power gifts. That's my job. And Romans 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? What? The Word of God." And the more that I build up your faith, the more that you're leaning and attaching yourself to the Word of God as He speaks through you, as He anoints you, then more certainly that you're going to start believing, you're going to start receiving those gifts in your life. But I cannot give them to you. It's my job to proclaim them, to promote them, and to teach them, to build up your faith so you will believe and receive them. Amen? I can't even give you salvation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 3. "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, or he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." Verse 4. It said, "For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and another, 'I am Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Who is Paul and who is Apollos? They may have proclaimed the gospel, they may have taught you the gospel, but God was the one that brought the increase. God was the one that brings salvation. God is the one that saves. Jesus is our Savior. In verse 6 it says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. I've never healed anyone. God may use our hands, but he is the one that is the healer." And we praise him for that. But it is up to my job to help build your faith so you, by faith, you believe that God can do what he says that he will do. You know, many times in hindrances of people's lives, they say, well, I've never experienced it or I've never saw it, so I don't know if it will really come to pass or not. And when I was visiting with Tracy, I said, it's important that we agree together. Because I can't heal you, but God can heal you through his faith. I'm supporting you and encourage you by the faith of God that you will receive that healing that he wants to bring into your life. So we agree together. Not what we experience, not what we know. What we do, we stand on what? The Word of God. This is what we believe. This is what we support. This is what we stand on. We don't stand on past experiences. We don't stand on what other people have told us. We stand on what the Word of God tells us. And the Word of God says that he wants to heal each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13... you see, there's one thing I can do, and not only can I do it, I must do it, and it's required that I do it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I can preach and teach faith, but I can't give it to you. I can preach and teach on hope, but I can't give it to you. So there remains one that I can give. As a pastors, we need to love our people. Isn't it interesting? Someday the power gifts we need so much today will no longer be necessary. When you look at verse 8, he says, love never fails. Love will be in heaven. Speaking in tongues won't be in heaven. Healing won't be in heaven. You won't need to be healed in heaven because you will be made whole. You will be fitted with your eternal body. You won't need to be healed no more because sickness is not allowed in heaven. And we touched on that just a moment last Sunday. Remember that before the fall, there was no sickness. Before sin, there was no sickness. What the first Adam couldn't do, the second, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to fulfill. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. Our God is a good God. We worship and serve the living God Almighty. God does not bring sickness. Satan brings sickness. Sin brings sickness. But don't blame evil on God because our God is a good God. There will be no sickness in heaven. You will never need to be healed because you will be fitted with your eternal body. Praise God for that. So the power gifts that we cling to here on this earth that are so important to us will no longer be needed in heaven, but there is one that will remain, and that is love. So I can preach and teach on faith, but I can't give it to you. I can preach and teach on hope, but I can't give it to you. But as pastors, we need to love our people. Isn't it interesting that someday the power gifts will no longer be needed? When we are in heaven, we no longer will need to be healed because we'll be whole. We will no longer need salvation because if you're not saved, you're not going to be there. But love will remain forever. Think about it. The love for the brethren, the love for one another is the most important thing that we can do. The most important. How important is it? Turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, we start from verse 36. And we know that the Pharisees were trying to trip Jesus up. In verse 36 of Matthew 22, we preached on this not too long ago, but he says in verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love God with everything that is in you. And love others as much as you do yourself. You would never do anything to hurt yourself, so don't do anything to hurt each other. Turn with me to John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. Do you want to be a testimony to others? And do you want to draw people to your church? Then love people. A loving church has a drawing factor like nothing else. You and I have all seen a church fall out of love with one another, and it's devastating. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. Others have experienced as well. And when a church falls out of love with one another, and as soon as negative things are beginning to be said about that church, do you think it draws or encourages other people to come and join that fellowship? No, it does not. He says in this scripture, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. And we understand why that it happens that a church falls out of love with each other. But do you know what? It's never supposed to happen. It's never supposed to happen. Love takes work. If you want to stay in a marriage relationship for 40, 50, whatever many years that you're going to be on this earth, then it's going to take some work on your part. It takes work to stay in love. It's easy to fall out of love because you can always think about all the negative things about this person or about that person, but it takes work to stay in love. And we need to be committed as a body of Christ that we are going to stay in love with one another no matter what. We are in the midst of a building program. It's stressful for the church. It's stressful for the church body. It's stressful for the pastors. It's stressful for the congregation. Even more so that we should say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God is in control, and what we need to do is stay in love with one another. So many times we spend so much time speaking about the power gifts, and you know I like to preach about them, and you know that I like to teach about them, but when you're in the midst of a building project, probably every other sermon needs to be about love so you stay in love with one another. So love starts at the top. So congregation should be a reflection. And I believe this is true, that your congregation should be a reflection of the leadership. So love starts at the top, from the chief shepherd. And who's the chief shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ. To the under shepherd, your pastors. To the congregation, to one another, and then back up again. In Matthew chapter 20, turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. It says in verse 25, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, too many pastors in our nation today have become business CEOs, when we're actually called to be servants. That's what we're called to be. I am your servant. Carol is your servant. We love you. We care for you. We want to nurture you. We want you to be all that you can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want all of the gifts to rain down on your life and for you to have every one of them, because that's what I desire for my people. That's what Carol desires for her people, our people. You are our people, and we love you. And you know what? It doesn't make any difference what you do. I'm not going to stop loving you. I am not going to stop loving you. I don't care what sin you've been involved in. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you've done last night. I'm still going to love you today as much as I did last week, and I'm going to love you next week as much as I do this week. Love does not fail. We see it fail in our world, and we see how corruption and we see how sin has twisted the word love. He's turned it into so many things that are ugly, that are unseemly. But for the love of Jesus Christ is unmovable, and it's unshakable, and we praise him forevermore. we have heard me say, I want to have just as many people in our church when we end the building project as when we started. And really, I actually want more people than when we started. And the only way that can do that is by staying in love. Staying in love and staying in Jesus. Carol and I love you. You love us. And we love one another. And that's the way it is. And that's the way that it will be. Amen? You know, a few weeks ago or a few months ago now, Jason spoke on, I've got your back. And I've talked to you about that. And I told you how Jason's always telling me that. I've got your back. And it's another way of saying that we have a covenant relationship. In our study of the Old Testament, we're going to start a new study this next week in Nehemiah, right, Alan? And we're going to start it fresh on Wednesday. One thing that I have learned from our Old Testament more than anything else, I think, is that God, once he makes a covenant relationship with his people, it doesn't ever go away. You look at the nation of Israel. That covenant relationship that was in the very beginning is still in existence today. And you're going to see that played out during the tribulation period. Even though they don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, and even though they don't recognize him as the Messiah, someday they will, and the Lord is going to bring them back to himself because he never forgets his covenant relationship. We have a new covenant in the New Testament signed in the very blood of Jesus. When I have got your back, that is a covenant relationship that you and I have. That Louise, when I'm gone next week, she doesn't have to worry about me going to be out there talking behind her back because we have a covenant relationship. We are in love with one another. Does that seem wrong for us to be in love with one another? It shouldn't be. Now, the world wants to turn it into something ugly and something bad, but I love Louise. And you know what? I know that Louise loves me. I love Carol, and she loves me. And our love is also a romantic love. But our love for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ is an agape love. It's a giving love. It's a sharing love. Jesus loved us with an agape love. So much that he was willing to give his own life on the Calvary for each and every one of us. I've got your back. That's a covenant relationship that you and I have. A covenant relationship that we will never forget, but always hold it in our hearts, in our lives. Say it with me. Jesus has my back. Think about that just for a moment. Jesus has your back. You know what? Someday you're going to be walking on the streets of glory. You might fall square on your face this afternoon and sin, but you know that you can come back to him and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Because you've accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life. He took all of your sins, and he took them to the cross with him. And he gave his life so you could have life and have eternal life. Jesus, no doubt, in your mind, in my mind, he has got your back. Say that with me again. Jesus has my back. Now say with me, I have your back. And we're saying that to everyone in this congregation. I have your back. I have your back. If we do this, the church will never look back, but we'll always be moving forward. Our church is going to grow. I believe it's going to grow. And you know why I believe it's going to grow? Because we love one another. And that's going to be an attraction out there that already, that building's already calling people to it. And I pray and I praise him forevermore. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you have our back, and you proved that for the giving of your very own Son so we may have life. And we thank you, Father, that today we as a congregation, we are in a love relationship with one another, and we have each other's back. We praise you for that today, Father, and we glorify your name. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Reading from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Praise his name.